Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi there, folks, and welcome back to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford, and I'm the pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento, California. As always, we love to steer people towards our website, and the address is epiclesis.org. That's E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S.org. On this program, I love to bring you a wide variety of guests, but it's always fun to bring in my dear friends and colleagues, and I have one for you today. He is Pastor Rick Ashy, who is our pastor at Epiclesis for Intergenerational Discipleship. Rick, how are you today, by the way?
I'm good. I'm doing really well.
It's nice to have you here. Always good to have you here.
Absolutely.
Last week, I did a really quirky interview with Pastor Ellen, where, did you hear it?
I think you did.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Instead of giving all of the wonderful reasons, and I think we have some, for folks to visit Epiclesis and try out our church, I gave a whole bunch of reasons that people would not want to come to Epiclesis. So when you heard that, what did you think?
Yeah, at first I was like, what is going on? No, it was good. It was actually very, very good, both because I think it was self-defining, you know, and honest of like, hey, this is who we are. And a little bit fun and tongue-in-cheek as well. But honestly, it's important for people to know what we stand for, what we believe, what are our core values, what are the core actions and activities that shape who we are as a church family. And so I thought it was fantastic.
Well, it will at least save a lot of time, right? So if somebody hears the broadcast and we mention something that they would just hate, I suppose they can go, well, there's a church I don't want to visit.
So you brought me in today as sort of like a demotivational speaker.
That's right. No, you're not a demotivational speaker. You're a wonderfully motivational speaker. At least I think so. Folks, Pastor Rick, in his capacity as one of our pastors at Epiclesis, is our pastor for intergenerational discipleship. And we could go on and on about that because it's certainly something that's near and dear to your heart today. But as we were thinking about taking a look at one of, or maybe two of the things that Pastor Ellen and I talked about last week, there were a couple of things that caught your ear, I think you said.
Yeah, I thought it would be really cool to take that recording that you guys did and then break it down like one bit by bit, you know, each one of those, and and then just spend some time, you know, really getting down into the middle of it. I thought, you know, one of the best ones would be perhaps one of the most important, which would be the table.
Yeah.
The bread and the cup, the Lord's Supper, you know, this thing that is so both central in formational within the scripture. I mean, it's a point of catalyst, you know, it's a very important moment biblically as well as theologically. And then for us, obviously, it has a vital importance to who and what we are as a church.
Off the topic slightly, but did you catch the news recently that Francis Chan had gotten himself into some trouble with at least some evangelicals when he suggested that the Eucharist or communion was the most important thing that happens in a worship service, or certainly one of two most important things, that and the word, the preaching, and that it was central to the act of Christian worship. And there were some folks that were given some pushback about that. Did you catch that?
You know, I missed that one. That is really interesting. And I think that is probably what we should talk about right here today.
Well, in some evangelical circles, the whole point of the worship service is the sermon. I mean, that's the tradition that I grew up in, right? Most everything at the beginning of the worship service is, in fact, I've heard it described this way. I wouldn't describe it this way, but some folks have said, okay, that's the sort of the warm-up, as it were, the preliminaries. And then you come to the sermon, which is sort of the meat of the service, the whole point of the service. And I grew up in the Baptist tradition, sort of that frontier revival kind of format, where the point of the service is not only the sermon, but then whether anybody responds, whether somebody's going to to walk the aisle. You're probably familiar with that as well.
And churches push that even further to the point of the whole of the service is the response. And so the message itself began to morph from biblical teaching, theological teaching, to whatever you want to call it.
In an effort to get a response. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. Right. Yeah. I think that it is interesting, even architecturally, you can walk into a church and figure out pretty quickly, if you have a keen eye, what it is they focus on.
And what do you mean? Break that down a little.
So, I'll give you a couple of examples. So a church where they would say that the teaching is the most important, you know, the pulpit, the place where the teaching occurs, this is going to be front and center. This is going to be right in the middle. All of the structure of the room is going to be focused.
The seating.
The way the seating is, right.
Lighting, for example. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all of that stuff. And so then, you know, maybe a worship team is behind or off to the side of that or whatever it may be. But, you know, that will be like front and center. Mm-hmm. You go into other churches, you'll notice there is no pulpit, but there's a big worship band stage thing going on. The focus of what they do is going to be on that worship time. And perhaps that the teaching is a little bit more, whatever, laid back or something like that.
Less emphasized in
emphasized. But okay. So you can kind of tell. And so then you come to a place like our church where a first time visitor would walk in and it's radically different.
Yeah, well, let me stop you right there and say, here's one of those places where last week, Ellen and I said, okay, if you like the idea of the pulpit being front and center, and if you are looking for a church where, say, the worship band is up on the stage and takes central focus, then you would be really unhappy at Epiclesis, and you would not want to go there because, you were getting ready to say,
architecturally, structurally, the way that we have our worship space set up is that the chairs are in a round, essentially. And as you come into the room, there's a little font that people interact with. That's the remembering of your baptism. And then in the center point of the room is the table with the bread and the cup. And then, you know, like you guys were talking about, the worship team is kind of off to the side, kind of in a, almost like a corner, basically.
A part of the circle.
Even. And a part of the circle, exactly. And so that they are not the focus, that they are not the worship leaders, you know, but that the church as a whole is participating together. Not that we discount or minimize the teaching, but that what we recognize through both Old and New Testament theology is that the table is our opportunity to respond to God's invitation, which is the teaching. So for us, you can't have one without the other.
Right.
But that when we hear from God in the teaching, and then we are invited to respond to him at the table. It's not even just that we centralize a table with bread and a cup, but that literally what we are calling ourselves into is the action of responding, not just receiving. Is the idea that this is a relationship that we have. There is, for us, a need to pay attention to what God is speaking to us through the teaching and through all of the things that are happening that are leading up to that table time. And then what we are called to do is to literally get up and move and engage the whole of who we are with all the people around us at that table in response to, in a genuine thanksgiving Eucharist of all that God has done. You know, it's like I'll say oftentimes, like on a Sunday morning, you know, we're here to celebrate all that Jesus has done, all that Jesus is doing, and all that he has promised that he will do. And so this is our moment then to really culminate all of that and really focus it. It's a focusing moment, I guess.
You're listening to an interview with Dr. Rick Ashe. He's our pastor for intergenerational discipleship at Epiclesis. And I'm Chris Alford, the pastor at Epiclesis. We're talking about reasons you would not want to come to Epiclesis. And most especially just now, we're talking about the Lord's table and how the Lord's table literally, physically, is at the center of our worship space and all of the chairs and all of the focus in the room is towards the Lord's table. Rick, the theological underpinnings mm-hmm. for that, throughout the Bible, God deals with people in a series of covenants. Mm-hmm. And when you're talking about covenant, there's always the word of the covenant, and then there is the sign of the covenant.
That's right.
And in worship, the word is where we talk about and we preach God's word, and then the response or the sign of that word is coming around the Lord's table, where mm-hmm. the sign is in and of himself. So word and table go together. Historically speaking, those are the two marks of Christian worship from the very beginning. So what right. we're doing is not only theologically sound, but it's historically sound as
right.
well.
Yeah, I was thinking that for us, what we believe is that you cannot experience the fullness of the message taught from Scripture without the interaction experience of the table, and vice versa. Without the teaching, you can't fully appreciate and embody all that the table has for us.
Mm.
I think also the whole of our worship gathering tells the big story. But again, because we centrally locate that table with the bread and the cup, and also by extension, we have the lamp, you know, with the flame that burns during our worship gathering.
On the table. Yes.
Yeah, which is mm-hmm. Which I love, is a beautiful symbol of the, you know, symbolizes the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's a great reminder that this isn't just a thing we're doing. It's not just some mechanical get in, get out every week thing, but yeah, God is here with us right in the middle of this thing. Anyways, but what I was thinking is that the body and blood of Christ, what the table represents, is that apex moment in history for us also when we look at Scripture.
Oh, it's our defining moment.
Yeah, that you go all the way back to the very beginning in Genesis, and you begin to walk through the Scriptures, and you go all the way to the end in Revelation, and everything in between, if you think about it, there's a tree in the beginning in the
mm-hmm.
garden,
mm-hmm.
and there's a tree at the end in Revelation.
Yeah.
And then Jesus hangs on the tree, right? Yes. And so what we're representing here is this crux moment. And so it has a gravity that pulls us and our focus and our thinking and our beliefs. And maybe it kind of compresses all of that together into this one moment. And I believe that's also a difference for us that other worship environments don't take advantage of.
Well, I was going to talk about that half a jiffy.
Yeah.
I have occasionally come across folks who say, oh, I wouldn't want to do the Lord's table every week because it might lose its specialness.
Mm.
And the people who tend to say that tend to be pastors.
Mm, interesting.
And I usually respond by saying, yeah, well, but you preach every Sunday.
Right.
And right. Does that lose
take its... Take an offering every Sunday.
Does that lose its specialness?
Yeah, that is interesting.
And the other thing is, there for a while, I was traveling a lot and doing a lot of worship workshops. And of course, I still speak to colleagues and talk to people about worship all the time. And I can't think of a single time when I've talked to the average person in the pew, as it were, and they said to me, oh, Pastor Chris, I just think we do communion way too much.
Mm.
Maybe it's happened, but I can't think of it. So right now, I want to talk to you folks out there right now. You're in your car, or you're listening to this on a podcast, or somehow on the interwebs or digitally, and your heart yearns for a meaningful, even intimate, weekly encounter at table with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're an evangelical and don't really know where to go for that, then golly, I want you to come and try Epiclesis.
Mm.
Now, if you are an evangelical and you don't like the idea of coming around the table every week, having communion every week, then you would not want to come to Epiclesis.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't like the idea of sitting in a circle, which I hope we have some more time to talk about,
sure.
with the Lord's table in the middle, then you're not going to like Epiclesis either.
Mm-hmm.
But if there are some things that we're talking about now, you know who I'm talking to right now. You feel it, don't you? Your heart's stirring right now because you've been yearning for this. You've been yearning for something that's deeper,
mm-hmm.
and you've been yearning for something that's more intimate in worship, where, gosh, something is happening at the Lord's table, and mm-hmm. God's presence is so palpably there. And you want to come around the table weekly. And the focus there is the Lord's presence and not necessarily on anybody or anything else. Then, Pastor Rick, I think epiclesis is something they need to try, yeah?
Yeah, I like the word formational. And that's one of the things that is different about how we approach the table. It isn't just this thing that we do that we move through quickly to get over with, you know, so that we have time for the other stuff.
Because how many church services have you been through where the Lord's Supper was tacked on to the end,
right?
And it was done as quickly as possible,
yeah,
and with very little care and without any time for contemplation, and certainly not time for lingering around the table, as we call it,
right,
where there is time for prayers for healing or the anointing with oil or that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's formational for us. It's not snack time at church. It's not a memorial in the sense of all we're doing is sitting there going, oh yeah, 2,000 years ago, Jesus died for us. And that's kind of how I grew up. It was just this thing that we did, and it was just like, hey, you know, remember this happened, you know?
No,
and
I know where you're coming from.
Yeah. You know, for me and what I have been blessed with is the formational component. It draws me in to God's presence. Hmm. And I don't think I could have said that 10 years ago, you know,
that
I think that it was just a thing that we did. Ironically, it was just a thing that we did as a part of church that was just this thing that Jesus told us to do in remembrance of him. So, okay, we're remembering you now and have this really awful stale cracker and this juice, you know, thing and get on with it. What I love about this is that for us, it shapes not only our beliefs, not only our actions, but I think our heart. I think it shapes our heart in the sense that I legitimately have to process for a brief minute, okay, Lord, am I fully prepared to come and participate in this now? And I reflect on that. And I also just take in the environment much differently. And for me, because I often get to participate with you, people come, you know, and I usually hold the cup, you know, and people come to me with their piece of bread. And I get to look every single person in our church in the eye.
It's
and
powerful.
I get to offer a blessing,
yeah,
a reminder to them. And each week I try to change it up. And it's some sort of like, you know, we say, you know, this is the blood of Christ shed for you. Or, you know, sometimes I'll say, this is Christ's victory for you. Or this is your hope and your future, or something like that. And to engage with people very personally, very intimately in that moment, it's a highlight, you know.
Yeah.
It's a highlight. So it shapes, because I'm in community with other people, and there's just a giant blessing there for me. But I do think for us, ultimately, I think that the fact that we take time, the fact that we are intentional with it, and not that we neglect anything else, but just that there is a weight to this component of our worship gathering, I think that is honoring and that genuinely blesses people.
You're listening to an interview with Rick Ashey. He is my good friend and colleague. I'm blessed to serve along beside him. He's the pastor for intergenerational discipleship at Epiclesis, an ancient future faith church in Sacramento, California. We'd just love to have you come visit with us. And today we're talking about the Lord's table, communion at Epiclesis. And just before the break there, Rick, you were talking about how the communion time is formational.
Mm-hmm.
And we have already said that our worship space is set up in a circle, which may be off-putting for somebody. And if you don't like the idea of sitting in a circle and being in such a situation that you see other people while they are worshiping and that you are facing the Lord's table, then Epiclesis would not be for you. But if that makes your heart sing, that sounds intriguing, and you know who you are, you need to come try it out.
Mm.
But one of the other things that happens that we just touched on just for a moment that I hope we can flesh out in our remaining moments is what we call lingering around the table afterwards, and that is also formational. And this may be something that's very foreign to some folks, but we provide time after folks come forward for communion for prayers. And we have prayer teams that are set up.
Mm-hmm.
We provide anointing with oil, prayers for healing, for wholeness, intercessory prayers, We even will come around folks and pray over them as a community. Rick, it's a beautiful thing, and it can be, well, not only formational, but goodness gracious, life-changing.
Yeah, very. I was thinking it's like very powerful. Because now, like you say, you know, when you take the bread and you say, we are remembered as one body now. You put after you break the bread, you know, and then you put it back together, we're one body. I think that creates an opportunity of that intimacy and that trust and that hope in one another within our church body. That now, as we do this lingering, there is a unity there that we have that isn't manufactured or isn't just like, okay, everybody, now we're all united. But it's like literally people start looking around the room. Who can I go bless? Who can I pray with? Who can I pray for? People come forward and they choose. This is the cool part. They choose to be transparent and to be honest. I'm going through this in my life, or this is crushing my spirit. Would you rally around me? And would you just lay hands and pray for me? And we do that as a church body. Was it Robert Weber said, there's healing at the table.
Yeah. And that you should flee to the table.
Yes. And fleeing to the table, right. That this is a place, you know, of refuge and sanctuary. And I think we create that environment. Well, I should back up. I think the Holy Spirit creates that environment.
Yes.
And we are just there taking advantage of his opportunity that he provides for us to really just bless one another and care for one another.
It's a remarkable time in worship, and it takes time in worship, but we don't mind spending it, do we?
Yeah. You know, you said that if sitting in the round is, you know, something that would be interesting to you, then you could come. But I would offer a challenge to everyone. Like, I'm not that person. Like, I don't like to be the center of attention. It's weird for a pastor to say that, right? But you know what? You got to try it. I would, if you're not that person, here's my challenge to you. You need to check it out. It's not weird, but it is different. And there is a level of connectedness. There's a level of activity that you see that you get drawn into. And so, yes, this may be outside your comfort zone, but that's not a bad thing.
Rick, as you were talking just then and in a few moments before that, I got a real feeling that I just need to stop and pray for folks who are listening right now. And the Holy Spirit is moving in somebody's heart and mind about this business of finding a church home where God's Spirit is at work and their heart is stirring over some of the things that we mentioned. So will you pray with me just now? And then we'll conclude our program for the day. Heavenly Father, I pray with thanksgiving that you are Lord over creation and over this region. Mm-hmm. And I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to those, especially who are listening to this radio broadcast and podcast. And Lord, something that we've talked about today is stirring in their hearts. Your Holy Spirit is stirring there, and their hearts are singing. And there's something about finding a church home, maybe where they are participating in worship, where the focus is not on the stage or a particular person, but rather on you and on the table of the Lord, and where we spend time in sweet communion with you or in lingering around the table and for prayer time afterwards. Lord, I pray that you would continue to speak to them in their hearts, and if it is your will, Lord, you'd bring them to Epiclesis so they can try that out for themselves. And we'll be quick to give you the credit and the honor for all of it. We pray in Jesus' name. Pastor Rick, it's always a pleasure to have you with us here in the radio studio. Thank you for coming.
One of the things that we say that is a part of communion, our time around the table, is come taste and see that the Lord is good. And I think that's an invitation for people today.
Indeed. Wonderfully said. Folks, until we gather for another edition of Ancient Future Faith, I want you to be thinking about this, would you? The road to our Christian future surely does run through our ancient Christian past. Until next time, the Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the Evangelical Church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church. And they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Christmas is over, right? So what happens next? Well, one ancient future thing about our celebration is that Christmas doesn't end with a whimper or roll quietly to a stop. It ends with a big bang called Epiphany, the wonderful season that celebrates the revelation of Jesus Christ. Join us for worship during Epiphany. And by the way, our Sunday morning discipleship series is starting up, and I'd love for you to be a part. As always, get more details on the web at epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you, and see you next time for another edition of Ancient Future Faith.